America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
Welcome back to RBKD. Happy MLK Day to everybody out there. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Wishing everybody out there a very safe and happy holiday. For those who have it off, those who are working like us, have a great day at work. Still enjoy and observe the holiday. You can always be a part of the show. Please do hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Vapors in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. And Patrick Davis is at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. Playing songs, though, I think the theme is pretty obvious. Playing songs that were essentially inspired by Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, some are for dedicated to him, some inspired by him, but yes.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I didn't even know that many songs, actually.
There is I should have known that.
Inspired by the man.
There is a lot of songs, not surprisingly.
No.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about this struggle and everything to go through and someone you could write about, I think there's plenty to write about there.
No question about it. Yeah, definitely a great theme for the day. No question about it. So I'm going to give my man Patrick a lot of love for that. All right, we'll get back to the Cowboys here and also talk about the rest of the Super Wild Card weekend. There were some blowouts. Then you had a couple of close games, too. So we'll get into all of them and try to hit as much as we can. You also have a wild card game tonight, which I gotta tell you, I don't really know who to pick in this game either.
I think I've got mine, but you're right. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not confident. I should say that. I'm not confident in the pick.
By the way, the show. Let's say we had 12 picks because there were four games and three of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
easy math.
Shout out.
Rod went undefeated.
Oh yes,
Patrick. Nice. We went 3-1.
We just missed Cowboys, right?
Yeah, that's all we missed.
Yeah.
And
damn Cowboys, come on, man. Yeah, that could have went either way, though.
It could have.
Remember at the end of the game when the 49ers had, first of all, there was the Randy Gregory penalty, the holding
Randy
call.
Had a day. He had three, I believe.
Randy
he started the game with one.
He started the game with one, and it almost
was
ended the game.
Was he the one who tackled the...
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was easy because on the replay, he made sure his name and jersey number was pointed directly to the camera as he tackled a guy 10 feet from the play.
An offensive lineman when the play was already outside of them.
Yeah, way past the play.
Yeah, Randy had himself a day.
Undisciplined.
Yeah,
that's what killed them at the
really
end
did.
Of the day.
And that should have set the 49ers up. Remember, everybody was like, oh, 49ers. That was the game right there. You set them up. Actually, it didn't because the 49ers hurt themselves because they had a false start. And then Deebo Samuel gets the 3rd and 9, which is a really good call by my man Shadow. I think it was 3rd and 10, but he gets get 9 yards out of it. Brings up a 4th and 1, and 49ers, of course, should go for it because that running game versus the Cowboys' rush defense, I'll take it all day, every day, and twice on
quarterback
Sunday.
Quarterback who's been perfect in his career on sneaks?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know that about Jimmy G.
It's the best thing Jimmy G does outside of hang out with porn stars.
He didn't like date her. He went on one date with her.
I'm not shaming.
He went out with her. Oh, you're
not shaming.
Okay, I thought you were judging. My bad.
You're looking at me.
Just Jimmy.
I was like,
you think
on.
I'm judging that?
Yeah, I was like, come on, man. Nothing wrong. He's
Jimmy
a single
G
man.
And LaMelo Ball. Just fans of the industry.
But yeah, they were going for the quarterback sneak and ended up being, you know, right off.
Vacations in Van Nuys.
Then they botched, the 49ers botched that because they didn't allow Trent Williams to get set after they shifted.
And who's that on,
being
Rod?
A false start. That's on Jimmy G.
Yes, it is.
It's like, Jimmy G, you got to wait like one more second. Let him get set and then you can go. Jimmy G. A little anxious. So that ended up putting them behind the sticks, and they had to punt. And then they punt back to the Cowboys. We have to go 80 yards in 32 seconds without a timeout.
And did it brilliantly in three plays. I love the hook and lateral.
They got,
there were a couple more plays, including, and they're always with Cedric Wilson, who can throw the ball a little bit.
That's a good point.
The one they had set up where he catches it and he's going to throw it back to Zeke, he just on the throw.
Yeah. No,
that was well set up.
It was no. I will say that they're 2 minute drill. They got, but tell them the drive at the end of the game.
Right.
The one they had to go 80 yards. They got 39 yards.
Got out of bounds
and got out of bounds. And it looked like, man, the Cowboys were at least gonna get a shot at the end zone. They did not get that shot because Dak and Kellen Moore, and of course I'm sure Mike McCarthy had to approve it. They decided to run a quarterback. It's a quarterback draw.
Right.
And they gained some yardage. I mean, they gained about, what was it? I mean, 15, 16 yards.
Like the 40 to the 25.
Yep.
Let's start that drive off, though, Rod. And I was watching it, and I'm watching it with E. Hogan, and got Chad and Trey there. And I said, hey, if you can set up a Hail Mary, you've done your job just setting it up here. You got no timeouts. There's, 40 seconds
that
left?
That was 32 seconds left. Got it back.
If you get it to midfield, yep, and you got one Hail Mary, that is a success. I mean, just for this one drive.
Yeah.
And they had more.
And they're right there.
More than that, they felt like they had another play where they get to the 25 and then go all verts. I don't know what the all verts at the 25 compared to the 40 with maybe two Hail Marys, Rod. Mm-hmm. You play DB.
That's a throw like a quarterback can make on a line as opposed to having to put a lot of air
under it. Yeah.
I mean, so you can get there right there at the 25, 24. Hey, some quarterbacks can throw that on a line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, as a DB, that's a concern. Then I have to play the ball differently and play the man differently as opposed to you having to put air on it and I got time to adjust. You may not have time to adjust if you can put it on a line, but it's still a tough throw. I mean, it's still a tough throw.
I see why you want to get that risk-reward, yeah, Rod.
No, it is. Exactly
risk
right.
Was too high, man.
17 yards he got, and he got to the 24, but they only had 14 seconds. They were under 14 seconds at the time and ended up ultimately running out of time because Dak or Tyler Biadasz, whichever had the ball, did not give the ball to the ref so that he could spot it. They spotted the ball themselves. Ref had to run in from behind the play to try to come spot the ball, and then they ran into each other, and it looked all awkward and weird, and then they tried to spike it, but a little too late for that. So Cowboys lose as a result of a lot of it was a lot of self. Right?
Self-inflicted
wounds.
Exactly,
I mean, the penalties and the clock management, and I think ultimately, you know, it was a cacophony, if you will, of clock management issues.
Man.
Yeah. Cacophony of fuss.
Is that a white term, too?
No, that's just, I mean, it really was that. I mean, they really beat themselves. The 49ers, I think, beat them in the first half, but
throughout the
entire game, the Cowboys beat themselves a lot of that.
Right. Cowboys, as bad as they played, still could have very easily won this game. And they had a shot, even outside of that last shot, if you just go in the second half. But way too many mistakes. I think the Cowboys' defense did enough to win. I mean, there can be blame thrown around. Their pre-snap penalties or their defensive holdings or even the Neville Gallimore hands to the face against Alex Mack on third down. I mean, they were giving the Niners this thing on a platter. The Niners are what they are, though, so they couldn't take advantage of it.
No, I mean, for how bad it started and how quickly San Francisco walked down the field that first drive, they responded well enough and came back. Dan Quinn did a good job of fixing the problems that were there to start the game.
Right.
So I'll give them credit that they fixed a lot of the issues that were there, and then it came down. If they didn't shoot themselves in the foot with the hands to the face and all that other stuff at the end, then Dallas gets the ball back with more time on the clock, and it's not this issue, but they don't because they're Dallas.
Mm-hmm. No, here's a quote from, and I agree with you, by the way, Patrick. Here's a quote from Jimmy Ward, the DB for the 49ers. He said, quote, "We went in there and did what we needed to do. Stop the run and force them to be one-dimensional. See if Prescott could win the game for them." End quote. That was it. I mean, they're telling their game plan was, you know what, let's just see if Dak Prescott can beat us. Because their running game can't beat us. We can shut that down. Let's see if Dak Prescott can go out there and beat him. And there were multiple times where Dak Prescott had a chance to, and ultimately Dak came up short. 53% completion percentage, one touchdown, one pick, a 69 passer rating. Nice, yes. But not nice if you're Dak. And he underachieved. He does not look like an elite quarterback up against elite playoff teams right now.
No, he hasn't.
That's the problem.
And he feels inconsistent. And, I mean, you see some games where he tears people up, but this was, and I'll really get into the offensive line and their run game and one of them. We can certainly talk about it right here, but there are a lot of different issues. I think the biggest one is the fact that this Cowboys team, at some point, they lost their identity, and it was balanced. And when you're balanced, that's a great thing. That's a great thing in life. But sometimes you get almost too balanced, and you forget about what your core is.
What you're good at.
Yeah.
Your identity is simply, what are you good at? What do you do as well, if not better than everybody else? What's the one thing you can hang your hat on and go, no. When the fit hits the Shan, this is what we do.
What was your big...
And for Shanahan, it's simple.
Yeah.
We run the damn rock.
We run the ball.
And we're physical. And what does Shanahan also like? D-lines. Oh, I stockpile D-linemen. He's always been that guy. Ever since he got to the 49ers, he's been a I'm stockpiling D-linemen kind of guy.
Solomon Thomas.
He's been.
We saw one who they brought in, and it made no sense, and he ended up having two sacks, and he's a former intern.
That's right. Great point. Bob Amenahu. Yeah, they traded for him. That was a nice
Charles
trade.
Charles Amenahu's been sitting on
that's
the bench
a great,
with
D nice
Ford
pickup.
And yep. Javon Kinlaw, who's inside, on the IR.
Great point. Yeah, that's a
so,
nice pickup.
I mean, they just know they're going to get injured. We don't care.
And Shanahan's been like that, though, right, for the last 4 years. That's part of the identity of his blueprint is, no, our DNA is, we got guys that get after the passer.
Drafting Buckner, Armstead.
They keep doing it. He loves them.
They get Ford in free agency. They draft
them.
Kinlaw in the first round.
So getting back to
obviously
your point.
Obviously Bosa.
Yeah, getting back to your point, who are you? I was disappointed when it was a 3rd-and-2 and Shanahan had Jimmy G throw the ball.
Yeah.
I almost cussed at the wedding. I'm
right.
Like, what are you doing? It's 3rd-and-2, and you're the San Francisco 49ers. You're the only team that still uses a fullback consistently. You got physical tight ends, and you got an all-pro left tackle, and you're going to throw the ball on 3rd-and-2 against the Cowboys?
Give the ball to your receiver in the backfield.
Give the ball to your receiver named Debo.
Right.
And see if he'll get the yardage.
Only a wide
receiver named Debo can lead the NFL in rushing yards as a wide receiver.
But this is the point, though, and this is when you talk about identity and doing things. What else does he do? He gets the ball to his star, and he finds ways to use Debo Samuel.
On 3rd-and-10, game
on line. He finds ways to get Debo Samuel involved.
Yeah.
So even if they're double coverage him, fine, you're in the run game. Okay, they're going to push you. If we run you deep, we'll run you right across the middle, get you 2-yard catch, and let you run after the catch.
13 touches.
Who gets the most targets every game? Cedric Wilson. He gets thrown into a double coverage. You get CeeDee Lamb involved. You get Amari Cooper involved. You get Zeke Elliott involved.
But see, Patrick, if you're gonna if you want your receiver to throw the ball or to lateral, then it's got to be him.
It's got to be Zach Wilson. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to get these guys that are talented on your roster involved in the game plan. If your game plan is, well, I've got three of the highest paid decoys in the game, and then we're gonna play Dak and Wilson over the middle, and Dak and Schultz, and Dak, like if that's a recipe to lose, not a recipe to win.
CD, and I hate to do this on TV, I did rewatch it, so it's not just the phone that we're watching at the wedding, but I hate to do this because a lot of the time it's, you know, you're just trying to read too much, but it almost felt like he was disinterested.
It does.
And I know he wasn't, but he certainly got CD Lamb.
Oh, really? Because he wasn't getting the target?
But he definitely got frustrated as this game was going
on. Body language. 100%. That's something that somebody.
Body language was
somebody
there.
Michael Irvin or somebody he respects and go, hey, man, listen, I get it. But your body language, you should fix it. It's going to be an article one day about your body language when you're not getting the ball because people are watching you. So if it was that obvious to you, I'm sure it's obvious to somebody else that you were dissatisfied with your role.
It was there. Yeah, and it takes me a lot to get there because, I mean, it took me even with Jay Cutler, I would defend him. It was for like the first 10 minutes of his NFL career. But still, I will defend that, right? Because I know being in media and also, I mean, that it's very easy. People will jump on that and see something that's not there. But it was obvious enough that I just thought, man, you're obviously frustrated.
Yeah. Well, and who is he frustrated with? Kellen Moore? Or Dak? Like, O-line?
Situation? What are you frustrated?
Because it could be the O-line. Listen, you're going to get on the O-line. I can't wait to hear it in your one and done. But, man, they gave up 5 sacks. With no Bosa.
Yeah. Bosa was there for a half.
He was there for a half, but, I mean, they still ended up with 5 sacks without Bosa for the entire game. That's a concern.
Yeah.
That O-line, and, you know, I always give the Tom Herman, Golden Gate Bridge analogy. You know, I remember when the Cowboys' offensive line was elite, and I remember when they were spending draft capital on offensive linemen. People were criticizing them, by the way, for doing it, but it turns out it was a brilliant move because they built this fortress of solitude around an aging Tony Romo. It ended up being the kind of building blocks for a young Dak and a young Zeke. Well, now that offensive line, it's old. It's aging. And just like the Golden Gate Bridge, by the time you get done repainting it, it's such an expansive project, it's almost time to start right over again and start rebuilding and start repainting it. That's what the Cowboys offensive line is. It's time for them to rebuild the whole damn thing. It's crazy, but it's time.
I used your analogy with their offensive line last week, so I got to give you a lot of love. And I go, remember I go, guys, this is like Golden Gate. I mean, we're looking at Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. We know what the left guard and the center are, but we're looking at them in past glasses, and we're not actually looking at what they do right now, and that changes throughout the year. Changes throughout the year. All right, before we get back to one and done and the Cowboys, quickly we'll throw this in there. Man, I ended up picking the Bills like y'all did, but I thought this was going to be a much closer contest than it was, and that was an ass whipping, boys. An ass whipping.
I didn't
we
see
got
that
a new
coming.
Team in the AFC East. I didn't either. I mean, man. I did not see that type of game, but this wasn't close. Now the questions are Mac Jones and cold weather and just how good of a quarterback he's going to be. Patriots had other problems in this matchup. And the Bills, as we did talk about on Friday, that the last 4 to 5 weeks, they had actually brought in the running game in Singletary little bit more. I mean, you balance that out to go with Josh Allen and what he's doing. Good luck.
I just want to say, because, that performance was mind-boggling. It might have been, gentlemen, the greatest offensive performance in NFL history. I'm not making that up. I know it sounds hyperbolic.
It does.
They scored 7 touchdowns on 7 offensive possessions. The eighth drive was 3 kneel downs. So usually you don't even count those, right? So 7 offensive touchdowns on 7 possessions. These drives covered lengths of 70, 80, 81, 89, 58, 77, and 39 yards. So only one of them really was a short field. 6 of 7 on third down, with the only failure being a kneel down to the end of the game. They also they never faced a fourth down the entire game. Didn't have to. And Josh Allen had more touchdown passes than incompletions. He was 21 of 25. Under most circumstances, of course. I mean, and considering this would already be considered the greatest offensive game. You just look at those things I just brought up. But think about who it was against.
Number one defense in the league.
It was against a top three defense in the league.
Best DC ever.
It was against the GOAT, Belichick. Greatest defense of mine ever.
Who beat you throwing the ball 3 times in this place a month and a half ago.
It's the third game since World War II where a team had 7 touchdowns, 0 punts, 0 turnovers. Because it was almost a perfect offensive game plan against Bill Belichick during winter in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know. You'd be hard pressed to find me a game that was a better offensive game by any team in the history of the NFL. Period. People, I'm not making that up.
No, you just laid it out right there. We've all heard the 7 out of 7. It was perfection.
I mean, to watch Josh Allen and McDermott put their foot on the throat.
That was the other thing.
You just watch him and go, oh no, we know you're the Patriots. We'll show you the respect. Wow. And there is zero chance we're going to slow down.
What was the pass? It was a pass on their last touchdown, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, they didn't slow down. Josh Allen ran the ball so well that made Singletary be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
Because they had to put so much emphasis on Josh Allen being able to throw and run the ball however he wanted to, that then in the second half, because Singletary didn't do anything in the first half. Singletary ran and we had like negative 1 yard, and then Josh Allen would immediately get a first down.
Yeah.
It was a Josh Allen show all day until the second half when they had to put so much to try and stop him that Singletary started to go off.
He looked unstoppable.
It was crazy. And I mean, does this Josh Allen now, he's at a different level after that game. You have to think of him somewhat differently after what he did, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
He had 6 carries. He averaged 11 yards on those carries. As Rod mentioned, he's 21 of 25 for 308, 5 touchdowns and no picks. Average 12.3. This is when you think of the Bills, and this is also the fluid nature of following any sport, but certainly the NFL, that if you watched the Bills 7 weeks ago.
I know. You'd have been doubting them.
It's different, man.
You wouldn't say more touchdowns than incompletions.
Yeah.
Right. It's a crazy stat in any game.
Yeah. No, we're all about, right, it's all about getting hot at the right time, and if that is hot for the Bills, then that is mind-blowing. And by the way, this is crazy to think of, but the no punts thing, they did it versus the Patriots in week 16.
Yeah, they did.
They also had no punts versus the Patriots in week 16. So basically, they've had 18 straight drives versus Belichick with no punts.
I would have taken them to cover and cover easily because of that, because I watched a lot of that.
That's crazy.
But the weather was a lot nicer.
That's true, too.
And I knew this was going to be -5, man. And you've got that lake effect, and the weather just didn't bother. It looked like it bothered New England. Didn't bother Josh Allen.
No. Like I said, the list of quarterbacks with more touchdowns than incompletions in a playoff game, Daryl LaMonica versus the Oilers in 69. Peyton Manning versus his Broncos, his old Broncos in 2000. Sorry, his
good
to
be his new
Broncos, yeah, but with the Colts back then. But that was in 04. Brady versus Jags in 08. Kurt Warner versus the Packers in 2010. And Josh freaking Allen versus the Patriots.
And the weather on Sunday in Kansas City, 37 degrees. There's going to be some fireworks.
Yeah, well, hopefully they won't run out of them.
Which
they did last night.
They did last night.
For scores, they ran out of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes
you
sense.
Got Travis Kelce with the zone read. He's got Mahomes flanking out, bailing out, and he's got him wide open. But he's like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to show you I can rip a slant.
Wow.
And did.
I'm going to choose my touchdown.
I'm going to choose my touchdown because that's so easy in the NFL. They blow them out. The other best game would have been Raiders and the Bengals. This was a fantastic game. And Joey Burrow he just continues to be Joey Burrow. We had talked about, really, it's funny, with the Cowboys and the Bengals, can their offensive line hold up enough? And they really did. I mean, he was sacked a couple times, but he's got such a good pocket feel presence.
Yep.
It's actually a lot better than Dak and other quarterbacks and has been for a little while.
Imagine what he's going to be able to do when they get a line.
Oh, and you know they're going to invest in that. And to go with Mixon, Chase, Boyd, Higgins, and just that whole team, man. Pretty damn impressive. Let's get back to the Cowboys. Let's get into their offensive line. I did mention last week, I've mentioned for a couple months now, that this is something that they need to look at. It's very easy to just have your head stuck in the past and think, well, Tyron Smith's an all-pro. Well, we got Lyle Collins. No, they need work, and they need work right now. And it's not all his fault because it's part of their fault, but they need to have a serious, serious discussion about what to do with Zeke.
Texas men's basketball is hot, and the Whataburger Ticket Takeout Tuesday is back for the season. Register now on the contest page at hornfm.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Texas men's basketball game at Frank Irwin Center. We're picking winners each Tuesday, and you can register weekly. It's the Whataburger Ticket Takeout Tuesday on the Horn. Whataburger, proud to serve it hot and fresh 24 hours a day. Visit hornfm.com to register. Hook 'em horns.
All right, Cowboys fans, let me cheer you up here. I've got a good deal for you, and it'll help you watching your Cowboys next year. Still some good things going on with that organization. Great things going on with the business at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, because they really take care of people, and they can get you LASIK for a great price. Starting at $495 per eye, get guaranteed financing approval, and the process was just so easy. If you're like me, you want the process to be easy, and that'll at least get you in, right? Take that free consultation to see if you qualify. You can do that during lunch, still hammer down lunch, and find out what's going on with your eyes, because essentially it's a free eye exam, but you're going to really find out if you qualify for LASIK. If you do, do it. The procedure for me was quick, it was easy, it was painless. I was in, I was out. They got me down to 2015. They can get you down to 2020, at least 2020, if you qualify. And yes, that is perfect vision. Give them a call, 512-596-2020, 512-596-2020, or sharpvision.com. Sharp with an E-vision.com. It's Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, the official LASIK provider of Austin FC.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here and he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done time. What a strange year for the Dallas Cowboys. They look so explosive. I mean, they were down the field, really throwing the ball down the field. They were balanced. They had a run game. They didn't have to run, though, so it really felt like it could be matchup to matchup. They opened the season knowing they've got Vita Vea and that defensive line. It's like, we're not messing with that, man, because we don't have to, because we're versatile. I mean, you're diverse in life, Rod. You can do anything you want. You can you read the situation and say, okay.
I'll adapt. Because I'm versatile.
Because that's what I do, right? And they did that. They did it really for the majority of the first half of the season.
Yeah.
One of the strange things with trying to just understand what this Cowboys team is, and maybe even more importantly for you Cowboys fans out there, and yes, by the way, I did feel bad for Cowboys fans. You saw me hug Chad. Like, it... I just don't hate the Cowboys like I did as a kid.
Yeah, some people hate them. But you're a 49ers fan, so that is rare, though.
It is rare, and it's taken time.
That's what I'm saying, because my wife is a 49ers fan, and they hate the Cowboys.
It's taken a quarter century of them not doing anything and me watching them every day, and you just get older. Like, and
49ers fans know they're going to get murdered by Green Bay and Green Bay. They don't care.
No.
They're just basking in the glow of beating the hell out of the Cowboys.
Just needed one.
Exactly.
Especially this one.
Shannon just needed one. That's all.
That's all he needs. Yeah, no, I'm really happy about that. A little job security for him. But, yeah, I mean, I do feel bad for y'all because it's just a strange team to try and understand. And for y'all, it's about understanding not only why you got put in this position, but – How do we get better? Because there is limited time in the salary cap era. And we saw Jerry talking to reporters after the game like he always does, saying this was the time. And I talked about that last week, that hearing a lot of stuff with Jerry that, man, if they don't win this game, McCarthy could very easily be gone. I know that's a shock because you're a three seed and it feels like this thing's been moving in the right direction. And Rod, at times this year, this team looked really damn good.
Really good. Remember Jerry Jones said I heard bells when he brought in Mike McCarthy? I don't know. Now those bells sound like that bell from Game of Thrones. Shame. Shame. But no, I think now Jerry Jones...
Sounds like the courthouse bells whenever you're filing for divorce.
Exactly. Different kind of bells. But I think Jerry Jones is going to go rewatch the game. And I think he wants to see, because how they lost is just as important as them losing. How they lost, and he lost by, like you said, it was undisciplined, mismanagement at the end. It just looked funky. It looked clunky.
It did. Yeah. So the clock mismanagement, and that was his rep, and we've had plenty of examples in 2 years to go with the most undisciplined and most flagged team in all of football, which they were all year long. And then that reared its ugly head in this game for Cowboys fans. That's on Mike McCarthy. And so you've got enough reasons to go ahead and let him go.
Yep.
Now, do you let him go to keep Kellen Moore? I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to be a great head coach. I don't know if he's ready for
it. We don't know that yet.
We have no idea.
You would be rolling the dice on that. You don't have enough evidence.
Dan Quinn could be another possibility if you want to look at that.
I got to a Super Bowl.
And do what he did with Jason Garrett and say, I'm going to make you the highest paid assistant in the league, Kellen Moore, so you stay here.
That'd be a good idea. Remember, there's no limit on what Jerry can pay the assistants. And you're going to lose one of those coordinators.
$10 million.
If you don't do it, you're going to lose one of them this offseason.
You're going to lose one, if not both.
You could lose both.
So that's all Mike McCarthy. But one thing that I have been talking about throughout the year, and once again, I believe in this Cowboys team. I mean, at the end of the day, I kind of thought they were better than they were, but it was pretty obvious. I mean, down the stretch, you can't get too fired up about two Washington wins and a Philly win when Philly's playing no one, Rod.
Yeah. No, Philly is 0-7. Versus playoff teams.
And they're not good when they are playing their people.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, again, this hype about a
playoff win. Good.
Yeah, they're not a playoff team.
But
they just snuck in.
One of the things I talked about was the offensive line. So a lot of the focus was on 52, our guy Connor Williams, who led the league in penalties. But I'd also talked about the three tackles, Terrence Steele included, that were top five. That's three out of the top five in penalties at the tackle position. And you had Tyler Biadasz, who was in the top two for the center position.
Crazy, man.
So let me state this right now. One, if you go to PFF, and this is where you got to be careful with numbers and compare that with your eyeball, number one offensive line this year was Dallas Cowboys. Tyron Smith had a 91.9. Connor Williams had a 76.4. Tyler Biadasz had a 64.8. So actually, you can see a big problem there. Zach Martin led him, no shock, with 94.2. And Lyle Collins was an 84.
Yeah.
So it looked really good. I think a lot of that is their competition and the matchups. When you get to the playoffs, you're going to face war daddies and defensive linemen like the San Francisco 49ers have. You're not going to face Nick Bosa every time. Bro, you're going to face someone like him because you're in the playoffs and there's only so many teams left, and that is still such a valued commodity to have someone like that. Getting back to your point about Shano really investing in it.
Yeah.
So save the text. You didn't look at PFF. I know. I'm looking at it right now, and I follow it every week. I understand they finished a regular season as the number one offensive line.
Yeah. The analytics also said you should slide and run a quarterback draw. So the analytics can be wrong.
They can be wrong. But at times, this line looked really good. Look, Tyron Smith had easily his worst day. Tyron Smith had allowed 7 pressures on 51 pass-blocking snaps. He allowed just that's what he did yesterday. So he allowed 7 on 51. He had allowed just 11 over the entire regular season.
Wow.
So only they would know just how healthy he is and how many years he can really give them. You obviously got to do something at left guard. I love Connor Williams. Connor Williams was actually responsible for the first sack. And that's one of those where you could look at it. He's playing left guard. They're twisting. Something Rod Babers did a Rod's rant on, and we saw a ton of that, twisting Nick Bosa inside, and they're actually chipping on the outside, but that doesn't help out whenever he's going inside.
Mm-hmm.
So the chip from Dalton Schultz means nothing, and Lyle Collins all of a sudden is chasing him inside the line to try and get a hand on him. Connor Williams has no one in front of him. He's protecting an area, a zone at that point. Head on a swivel. His head was too left. He was too late getting right as Bosa darts in to the place he should have been occupying.
Yep.
Connor Williams should have. I've seen him multiple times this year get punked, just physically get blown up. And one of his holds he should have had because he got blown up. I don't know if it was Jones. I forgot who it was. Actually, it was Arden Key, of all people. The LSU wow. defensive end, getting back to your point, Arden Key's a backup, who blows him up.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, inside you're getting blown up by a defensive end, and he ends up holding him. He had a couple penalties. Tyler Biadasz with the 64 showed you right there, and this is someone who told you the day after the draft, granted, I was talking about value where they got him, this is a really good pick. Mm-hmm. He's gotten better this year, but you got to look at that as well if he's your lowest rated guy. At right guard, you're good.
Yeah, you got to.
I told you good news, bad news earlier. You're good with Zach Martin, okay?
Yeah, you got an all-pro there.
Right tackle, Collins. So I would really focus on left guard and right tackle. Collins got blown up a couple times, man, where he just got lifted. And I mean pushed back. He got punked, Rod. Go watch some of the replays. Lyle Collins is not the Lyle Collins that is in our head from 2 or 3 years ago, guys. Rod knows better than any of us how quickly you don't even deteriorate.
That's just father time.
This is such a high level that you guys are dealing with,
Rod. Maintain it.
You may have you probably lost an inch or two and then thought, I can't play in the league anymore.
Yeah, no, it's all it takes. I'm totally with you though. And Lyle Collins, that's interesting because I'm a Lyle Collins fan. I had to go back and watch.
I was too.
Him specifically in this game, but that offensive line it's weird that they're graded so high because yes, at times they don't pass the eye test.
They don't, and they just got punked yesterday. Mm-hmm. So you could say, well, that's just a really good defensive line. We're talking about y'all getting to the Super Bowl. That's what we're talking about now. So they're going to be finite changes. We're not talking about the Texans or anything near that, and we're rebuilding. And no, we're talking about little changes as you have this time, this window to get this done. And so definitely Connor Williams. McGovern's not the answer. I would look at Biadasz. So I would go best player available at the offensive line. So if Tyler Linderbaum, is available, this guy is going to be a world-changing center for him. And maybe you just get rid of Biadasz at that point. You obviously have to address left guard, and McGovern's not your answer. I think you need to address right tackle, and you need to start having some real conversations about left tackle, okay? Even though he posted a 91 this year.
Damn.
In the regular season against the majority of their weak-ass schedule, he did really well. He looked old, slow, and done yesterday.
Yeah, I would have to. You know what? I might do that tonight. Go break down the Cowboys' numbers, the offensive line numbers versus elite pass rush units. Because versus the 49ers, you're right, they were exposed. But the division.
That looked like a number one line in the league?
No.
Did it look like a number 15 line in the league?
Exactly. The division gives you a false reality of the Cowboys. That division is so bad, Rod.
Bingo.
Right? Because the Eagles were a playoff team.
That's
in that
the crux of this one and done right there.
It really is, man. Because I was fooled too by it. I think I was fooled. I think I blew the Cowboys a little bit over. I think I did. No question about it.
Here's the other thing, too. We can get into this maybe a little bit later. I know we're tight on time, but this is going to be a ton of Cowboys today, tomorrow, and going forward. You got too much money tied up in Zeke, and if he was giving you 30% more production and looked 30 to 40% better, and I understand he came out and said the PCL, partially torn, it looked like it. Even if that gets completely rehabbed, that's such a dumb value. There is no value in that. Mm-hmm. And it was dumb when you signed him.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and understand that and have an exit strategy right now and have it soon because Tony Pollard's been the best back for the last couple of years. Hell, you could argue Clement is more explosive right now. If you want to be, if you got this limited time in this window and you've already got a quarterback locked up like he is, and you already got Amari Cooper locked up and Tyrone Smith locked up, and you're paying a ton of money there. I mean, what are you getting out of Zeke right now? You know what he still does really well? And he did, again, blitz pickup. He's a great blitz pickup guy. I mean, this guy's a damn good blocker. and I know he's putting his heart out there. I know he's not the same. You got to have a realistic conversation because the Cowboys were so one-dimensional this year, and you're one-dimensional and you don't pass block well against really elite defensive lines, and you've got no run game, you got to fix that. Don't tell me your balance when it counts against really good defenses, You're one-dimensional, man.
Right now they got no out, though. They gotta keep him on for next season, I believe.
Next season.
And then after that, they can just
And then after that, you got to cut
him. A lot of dead money, but like you said.
It'll be dead money, but you're gonna have to sit on that.
Yeah, you got no choice. You got to move on from
that. You put yourself in this spot.
You did. You did.
And a lot of us warned you, not even with Zeke. We just warned you with the stories we've seen with running backs.
And with Zeke, remember, you signed him. Before you had to, you gave him his extension doesn't start till next season.
Next season, I know.
Because you signed him 2 years before you needed to, and if you had waited, you'd have saw him deteriorate and went, you know what, guys? We can't sign this guy.
Because he was threatening you.
Give him big money.
He was threatening you.
We signed him before you signed Dak. You signed Zeke.
We said it at the time, this is going to kill down the road.
And it is.
And now they're going to be in a spot where they got to restructure that offensive line. They're only getting a year older, so... We'll see how it plays out. Little one and done there with the Cowboys O-line.
Nice one. No, it's good,
yeah,
though.
I mean...
You're not as close as you think you are.
No, you're not.
You're exposed. Because the 49ers aren't as close as they...
No.
Exactly. You would know that.
I'm a 49ers fan right now, and I'm telling you. And I told y'all before, I said, I gave you the list of the teams that could make the Super Bowl. I said, I don't think they... Obviously, there's a couple that I would knock out, and the Cowboys were one of them. But they could.
They got to... Yeah.
The Niners can't. The Niners aren't getting the Super Bowl.
No, not with I would say not with Jimmy G, but not with all the injuries. They've had too many injuries now.
Too many injuries, probably, and yes, part of that is Jimmy G.
Yeah,
little off the record. We have a potpourri because we have a lot of these that have been backed up. Some good stuff. We'll see how many we can get to. We have to get to some of the reaction shots of the Cowboys fans, including one with 5 minutes to go in a 6-point game that was just fantastic.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. And there's a couple of stories here we can throw into Off the Record. But this one I've been hearing about, this story from a lot of different affiliates, and it's actually made the rounds via Twitterverse. You've probably heard it too. The train robberies that are happening on the West Coast.
This is crazy.
Yeah, this is weird. Okay, so thieves have been raiding.
What year is it?
It's exactly. I'm with you though. I'm like, I haven't
What century is it?
I didn't even know they were robbing trains was still a thing, but yes, it is. So thieves have been raiding cargo containers aboard trains nearing downtown Los Angeles for months now, taking packages belonging to people across the U.S. and leaving the tracks blanketed with discarded boxes. The packages are from retailers including Amazon, REI, and others. CBS LA reported Thursday the sea of debris left behind includes items that the thieves apparently didn't think were valuable enough to take.
Including COVID tests.
Including COVID tests. While CBS LA cameras were on the scene, one person was spotted running off with a container used to hold small packages, and a Union Pacific Railroad police officer was spotted pursuing two other people who were apparently going through the package as well. So these are not people who were actually stealing it from the train. These are just random people who came through stealing packages from the debris that was left
now,
over.
Is it stealing at that point if it's that's just on the ground?
I do not know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great
question. Okay.
Normally, if you have to ask a question, yes.
Passing trains carried containers with doors wide open and packages tumbling out, says NBC4. Video showed two men, one holding what looked like bolt cutters, walking along the tracks. Union Pacific said in a statement that the railroad was concerned about increased cargo thefts in California specifically. Remember, Union Pacific has their own police force.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no,
it
doesn't
sound like it's big enough.
It's obviously not. It used to be bigger back in the day when Billy the Kid and company were robbing the trains. But now, man, this is a thing. They said train robberies are up 356%. In 2022, which means they probably weren't happening at all.
Now, right.
Yeah, like four or five of them.
I'll give you the bright side. The only bright side is that no one's being harmed, physically harmed with these. So you're kind of cutting out the middleman. And we've got people that are getting carjacked left and right. I know LA is a serious issue of people are getting tailed home and then carjacked.
What?
Yeah. No, hey. It's you know,
crazy,
we talk about government a lot, and there's got to be something there. So
that's why gun sales are going up.
Right. If it's a freebie and I'm getting let out, then
yeah.
And that's what I do, then you're making it easy on me. But Yeah, that's the only bright side of this. Clearly, they got to fix something. We'll see if California can do that. But this is a story. We've had two of these the last decade that, for me, if you would have told me as a kid, I would have said, no way. Remember the pirates?
Yeah, there's pirates and train robbers. Like,
well, what
still
century
happening?
Are we living in?
I would say pirates are actually really common.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
But I'm saying I didn't know that until some of the pirate stories we were hearing, maybe it was 5, 10, you know, getting like, old, whatever
not,
it was.
They're off like not always, obviously, American coast, but off of third world coasts in different countries. Like,
so
pirates
they
are
never
real
went
thing
away.
All the time.
Yeah, I just didn't know it.
They didn't go away. Yeah. They went away in, I would say, for westernized civilization mostly.
Right.
But there are tons of pirate activity happening when you just go through some of the third world, some of the unsettled territories, if you will. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's crazy that it's like, it's train robbers, and then somehow it gets back to like porch pirate stuff.
Right.
Because it is. Like, if you, the pictures and everything, it's literally just Amazon boxes, mm-hmm. and like, they're just strewn everywhere.
Right.
Outside the train track. The crazy part is, like, I had friends who were trying to shoot a video near the train track, and the police came down. They're like, you need to go away right now. Like, if the railroad people find you, it's a federal crime.
What?
For shooting videos like on a train track.
How? Why?
Because you're not allowed to have people, because they're like, apparently this train has to stop if they realize somebody, so there's sensors on the track.
Oh, they see you.
So if someone's on the track doing something, then they have to stop. And they're like, you don't even see the train, but it stopped 2 miles down, and now everything, all trains across the country
because
are
you,
back.
Because you've been taking pictures with your homeboys.
So, so that's why all these pictures and video are aerial helicopter, right?
Well, I guess, and I mean, most of the time it's get in, get out, but I didn't know that was a thing, and they're like,
hey,
we're the cops, we're the nice ones here, if the railroad people, and then you find out here that apparently the railroad people have no
bunch of pushovers.
They don't do
bunch
anything.
Bunch of flashlight cops.
My friends got told they could get 10 years in jail for this.
By the way, the amount of trash that you see if you look at this, this is not, like, this seems pretty easy for them. Like, are there railroad cops at all?
They probably...
Where are they?
Yeah, they probably have been understaffed and defunded for a long time, because who the hell was robbing trains?
Right.
Nobody. And somebody figured out...
I've got
out
the easiest gig in law
robbing
enforcement.
Exactly. They had one jabroni out there with a flashlight walking around yelling at people like Patrick saying, get out of here! You know, you can get 10 years of being here, sonny boy! And now he's got some real gangsters coming through there cutting... So I'm with you. It actually is a very safe way to steal.
It's cutting out the middleman.
Because
you're not going to go be a porch pirate.
And
you're not going to
hold someone up. Yeah,
right.
It's not armed robbery. So maybe it's probably a lesser penalty because it's not armed robbery, which is kind of the worst kind of
robbery. It's not. But like most things in life, it'll come down to us people that are trying to be good citizens and our consumers, because they're gonna find a way to make sure that they don't get cut out of it.
Oh, this is the reason for the inflation.
The company.
Is this the reason? Joe Biden?
Hold on. It's reason... 19,224.
I was gonna say,
there are a lot of factors.
Joe Biden's going to blame the train thefts for the inflation going on.
Otherwise, gas will be fine.
Hey, guys. Hey, your rent's going up again, but there are people robbing trains in California.
Right.
What do you want me to do?
What about the pirates, guys? The pirates. No, but I will say this, because I've often been, talked about on this show. I've talked about bank robberies, and I've been really fascinated with bank robberies over the years. And, you know, the stats that come out from, like, basically they don't catch close to half the bank robbers out there. And the more banks you rob, the higher chances you're going to get caught.
Right.
If you just go rob one bank, I'm not saying you're going to get away with it.
Here we go.
But
here's
odds increase on your success
of the day, kids.
If you're just robbing one bank, and rob it when the president's in town. But anyway, I digress. But my point is, I wonder.
Or a big high school football game.
That's true.
In a small town.
Yes, in a small town.
No, I always heard that. They're like, it's the best place to rob a house in West Texas.
Wait during the playoffs.
Whenever Permian's playing Judson.
You weren't exactly right. It is true, though.
Yeah.
It's true. They put up signs, and those signs are like, we'll be back after the game. You're like, okay. But my point is, I wonder if the stats track here, that if they're going to be able to get these guys. Because one-time train robbers, I imagine, I know there are a lot of cameras out there, but I imagine not that easy. They didn't leave a lot of evidence behind. I'm sure they were smart about it. Like, the evidence is literally moving at the time. Like, it's a train, so I don't know. I wouldn't be able to catch them.
But this is what's crazy. They're empty boxes. So these people are apparently picking up, opening them, and then looking and going, nah.
Nah. Nah.
Like, they're not just grabbing boxes.
Yeah.
You don't know what's in the box.
They want to be smart. They want them Apple
so
products.
So they're staying there long enough to find what they want.
Right.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
The point, which means the police aren't working that fast.
That's it. It's not really robbing a bank. It's going into the bank and
counting the money.
Casually counting the money and go...
I just want all fives.
I'm looking for C-notes.
Exactly.
And apparently the cop is, or the railroad police is like, it's spooky at night though. Right. You don't want to go out there.
How many? Okay.
I didn't sign up for this.
Do you think the railroad cops got some stuff too off the ground? A couple items? For
I'm sure there's one.
It's because it's literally, if you've seen the video, it is a sea of like debris and envelopes and different packages
that are opened.
It does. And it's just stuff everywhere. But Patrick's right. I wonder if they're looking for something specific or just looking for value.
Yeah, I mean, you figure they want electronics.
There's value? I know, but man, it seems like it's a better way to go about it.
You would think so.
Opening every package and throwing it out, and opening every package.
How
many guys?
If you've got time, you don't need to be an efficient criminal.
I wonder how many people they have. How many people in the crew, you think? 3-4?
Oh, it's a lot of different crews. And
it's multiple crews?
And I know I've heard a lot of it. Well, I'm sure some of it's gangs. It's criminals.
Yes,
so it's criminals of every race, every genre, you name it. It's criminals. Criminals, if you incentivize them, they will commit crimes. Look at history. It's been going on forever, which is why you actually need to be a hell of a lot tougher on crime than they are in California.
You know what, though? I bet they set a trap for them. You can set a trap for these guys.
Can we get all the YouTube videos of glitter bombs?
Fantastic.
You can set a nice trap for these guys. If they're
one whole cargo crate is one giant glitter bomb. just a bunch of gang members running out, and they're like, oh, it's the wrong color glitter. Oh, no.
That's fantastic. Good. That's funny. That's a great way to end. Two in, two to go. We'll get back to the boys. We'll get to those fan reactions to start off the 5 o'clock hour.